Good morning.
Woo! I'm definitely here this morning. I know Rob will take care of that. Rob's one of those guys that keeps me from being obnoxious. My wife just said, well, maybe you should spend more time with him. No, I was reading her mind. That's one of my spiritual gifts. You know what? It is so good to be with you this morning. I missed you. I missed being here and worshiping with you. And you know, you don't choose who you pastor. You don't get to choose that. But man, God has given me a supernatural love for this body. And I've seen his love at work. I've seen his power at work. I've seen his Holy Spirit at work, and it's good. And I just want to affirm you this morning. Wow. You know that the God that breathed this world into existence loves us with an everlasting love, with an unfathomable love. You know, this week I flew the longest flight that we fly, that my bid status flies, 10 and a half hours. And we only covered this much of the globe. Isn't that amazing? Going 500 miles an hour through space, and we only covered this much of the globe in 10 and a half hours. Man, I'll tell you what. The God that breathed that into existence cares about each one of us in an incredible, intimate way. Does that not do anything for you this morning? Man. As I was sitting there over the Amazon trying to stay awake in the middle of the night, man, God sent a beautiful light show, which was fortunately on this side of our route of flight and not in front of us. But he sent a beautiful light show, and then as we went through some of the, you know when you see a thunderstorm, you see that big anvil that blows off of the top? That's the moisture blowing off the top of the thunderstorm because of the winds are very strong up there, and we flew into that area of moisture, which was not the thunderstorm, but sometimes you can get a rough ride out of that. And I was going, man, God, I'm just asking for a smooth ride through this. And we got a smooth ride, but the friction of the moisture moving over the airplane just lit up an incredible display of St. Elmo's fire over the fuselage of the airplane, and it was just incredible. And the God that created all that loves me, cares about me, knows me, is interested in me, is easily pleased, does not expect me to earn anything from him. I have it. I have it. And yet I still wander. Sometimes I wander back to that performance-based approach to God. That if I do this or get this right or visit this many people or say the right things or don't do the wrong things, I wander back to that. But then there are times that I taste and I experience that love, the knowledge of that love that Paul talks about this morning and that we're going to look at. But I really feel led this morning just to share a little bit of my testimony with you. There are many of you in here that know how I came to be here today and be one of the pastors at Gateway Fellowship, and there's many of you that don't. Got a lot of new faces, got a lot of young faces, and the only reason I want to do this morning is, first of all, is because I feel led by the Spirit to do that, and secondly, because it tells you a lot about my journey and why I am where I am. And you know, how many of you were blessed by our brother Harold's teaching of the Word of God? Amen? You know, the church is a wineskin, but God is also creating new wineskin, making us into new wineskins so we can continually receive from him. Look, this morning, here's a perfect example of the new and the old wineskin. See, here's the old wineskin, and it's good. It's good. I had to have it up here with me this morning because, you know, I've got all my notes and everything in the old wineskin, and it's good, but here's the new wineskin. I mean, this is a poor example, but see, here's the new. Here's the new, and God uses this. So one of the things I appreciated from our brother last weekend was the fact that he did not He was not critical of the old. He said the old wine was good. But God is, he's infinite. He's infinite. And he's always creating new wine and pouring it into us and into the church. And I'm here to tell you, church, I want to receive of that. I want a taste of that. I want a taste of the wine of God's love. That's what I want, and that's what I want for you. And God has laid upon my heart this morning that no preaching, no teaching, no, I don't care how good my sermon is this morning, I will not be able to convince you of the love of God. And I'm telling you what, when you get a hold of the love of God, it changes everything. It changes everything in your life. And I'm here to confess to you this morning that I'm not quite there, but I'm almost there. I'm almost there. You see, And God has revealed to me that until I really get that, I'll never be really effective as your pastor, as one of your pastors. And I want it bad. I want it bad. And one of the other things he's taught me this morning is this. When Paul expounds upon the width and the depth and the breadth of the love of God in Ephesians 3, he doesn't teach it or preach it. He doesn't have a class or a program. What does he do? He gets on his knees. He gets on his knees and he assaults the throne of grace and says, these people need to get this, because if they get it, it will change everything. You look at the beginning, look at Ephesians, what an incredible book. But Paul is talking about the administration of God's grace in his life and his calling to preach the good news to the Gentiles. And he's talking right before this passage where he prays for the Ephesians, he's talking about freedom in Christ and what it's like to be free and know true freedom in the love of God. And then he says, for this reason, I bow before the Father. And he prays one of the most anointed and beautiful prayers in the New Testament for all believers, that you would know. You see, it's about knowledge. It's not about the source, church. It's not about the source, is it? The source is limitless. It's unending. It's pure. It's right. It's good. The love of God. God, he's the standard. He's the standard. And so many people, including myself in the church, we can't comprehend that. We get tastes of it. We get glimpses of it. But we don't comprehend of it. And it isn't a deep-seated belief down in the pit of our gut where nobody else sees. And so that's what I'm praying for this morning. I'm going to try and keep what I say short this morning. And I've talked to the elders and to our prayer team, and we're going to have a ministry time. Because you know what? Those that don't believe in impartation, this prayer of Paul is a prayer of impartation. He's laying hands on these Ephesian believers, and he's saying, listen, I'm imparting the knowledge of the love of God into your lives. And that's what I want to happen this morning, because it will change everything. Look what happens. Look what happens. Look what happens here in Ephesians after Paul's prayer. He says, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. That doesn't turn God into our vending machine, by the way. It gives us a new perspective on what God is doing and what he can do. Then he talks about unity in the body of Christ. Then he talks about us being humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. See, when we get it, when we get the love of God, this is what flows out of us. It's not the other way around. It's not if I do this and love my wife and love my brother and do the right things all the time and say the right things, then I'll experience the love of God. No, no. The Holy Spirit has to come in power and authority and teach us that. Teach us that. That God loves us. And there are no limits to that love. It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. You know, so often when I pray for the work of the Spirit in my life, I'm asking for God to enable me to do this or do that or love this person. Or when what I should be praying for is that the Holy Spirit comes and reveals to me and allows me to comprehend the love of God. Because when I do that, then all that will flow out of me. Amen? Amen. So, I want to share with you just a little bit of my testimony, and it'll help you understand. Because I know you all been pulling for me. You've all been pulling for me. And you've watched me struggle, and you've prayed for me, and you've encouraged me, and I appreciate that. You know, this morning, before I forget, I saw a perfect example of the love of God this morning. You know, Matt had to run out for some reason, and he handed little Judah off to Shania. And man, he didn't like that. And you know, Shania's a sweetheart. But he didn't like it. He started to cry. He started to cry and cry for his daddy, and Matt ran back and grabbed him and hugged him in his arms, and he stopped crying just like that. Just like that, he stopped crying. You know what? When the Father has us, when we know the Father has us, it cures a lot of things, doesn't it? Perfect example of the love of God. You see, I believe, and listen, the old, there is good in the old. I in no way do I want to dishonor anyone this morning with anything that I say. No way, that is not my intent. So please, I don't want to dishonor my father or my mother. I do not want to dishonor them. By the grace of God, I honor them. And you see, I believe that we can defy the things that we don't want to take root, or we can root out of our lives that were planted by our parents. We can do that. We can defy that without dishonoring them. The grace of God allows us to do that. Still honor them, but defy those things that don't honor God. Amen? Do you understand? And so I want to attempt to do that this morning. I was born in Duluth, Minnesota. My dad was in the military, and he was married to an English nurse who was my mother. And for reasons not known to me, they were divorced when I was 1 year old. And I moved back to England to live with my grandparents and my mother in England. And I lived there for 5 years. And in the course of that 5 years, my mom met Ken Acuff, who was another military Air Force guy. And then I moved with them back to Delaware. And she was a nurse at Milford Memorial Hospital. She worked with Eileen Worfel. And she worked with Mrs. Metting, who just passed away this past week. Metting Seafood? Yeah. And so she worked there as a nurse. And almost a year later, she died of cancer. And I don't remember. I mean, it was like she was sick and she was gone. She was 29 years old, and she died of cancer. And my dad, who was on flying status, had not even adopted me yet. I knew him as Ken, not as my dad. And he sent me back to England to live with my grandparents again, my English grandparents. And I lived with them for a year and a half. And in that time, Ken had met another English lady with two children from her first marriage. Some of you know my brother and sister, David and Amanda. And that's, I came back then to Delaware to live with them. And to say that it was strained and awkward would be putting a good light on it. But that is the setting that my formative years were in, and you can imagine why I have some security and abandonment issues. But you know what my story is this morning? My story is a love story. It's about the love of God pursuing me. That's what it's about this morning, and that's what I want you to see. When I look back and I see the hand of God in my life, it almost makes me mad at myself that I don't trust him and that I fear, because I see the people that he's brought into my life and the way that he's orchestrated my life, and his thumbprint is all over my life. It was about that time, soon after 7-8 years old, that Lydia Emerson and Esther Miller started coming by my house to take me to Law's Church. Sunday after Sunday, they would roll into my driveway and take me to church. And those were the start of an awakening, the formative years. To make a long story short, you can imagine living with a non-Christian stepmother and stepfather who, you know, again, I say they did the best they knew how. Do you know what I think of today? When I think of the things my stepfather put me through, I weep and wonder what happened to him as a boy. His father was an alcoholic. I weep for what must have happened to him. But the way my father disciplined me was like this. I can remember numerous times being launched across the room. I can remember being slapped to the ground in front of my baseball team and lying there on the ground in shame. In church, I'm not trying to be... I want you to see the grace of God this morning. I'm not trying to be sensational or get your emotions going or anything like that, but I want to give you a perfect example of what it means to have the grace of God just rip shame off of you, to throw it off, to throw it off. You can imagine that I was an insecure boy. I was very insecure, and I had a problem with wetting the bed and wetting my pants. And the way my father tried to fix that was make me wear my dirty underwear on my head in front of my friends. That was his cure for this insecure boy who didn't know that he was loved, that didn't know the love of a father and a mother. And I only share that with you to give you the context of the grace of God and the love of God. Because see, the love of God says, shame off you. The love of God says, you don't have to do penance. The love of God says, no matter what your performance is, I love you. Amen? So you can imagine that some of those experiences drove me to find satisfaction in other places. And it drove me to be part of the in crowd at school. It drove me to drugs and alcohol. It drove me to relationships that were not honoring to God, all the while thinking I was seeking something that would make it all right, that would make it better. And it never satisfied. It never satisfied. When I was 16 years old, this all came to a head, and my parents found out what I had been involved with. Me and my dad had pretty much, and this is the Cliff Notes version. he decided he was going to send me back to England to live with my grandparents. He'd had it. He was done. You know, I had stolen from my parents to support my habits. I had done a lot of things that I regret, and I was to leave for the airport to go to England to live with my grandparents. And the next day and that night, Mark Yoder Jr. came to my house, and he shared the gospel with me. He shared the love of Jesus with me, and I responded to the love of God. And I can still remember the weight being lifted from my shoulders that night by my bed as I said, Lord, I repent. I need you. It was like a physical weight being lifted from my shoulders. But you know, God who loved me, who was interested in me, who knew me intimately, knew I needed to see that he was real. See, my dad was a lifelong military guy. He never changed his mind. Once he made up his mind, that was it. He was sending me to England. So we get in the car the next morning with all my belongings packed in a couple suitcases, and we drive up to Philadelphia, and we're almost to the Philadelphia airport, and he stops and goes in a phone booth. There were no cell phones then. And he comes out, and we turn around and start going the other way, and he doesn't say a word to me. Well, apparently, that night after Mark had prayed with me and led me to Jesus, he had went out and had a long discussion with my dad, and he had told him that I could come live with him and Polly. They were 24 years old. They had one child and one on the way, Israel and Jeremy on the way, and they said, you can come live with me. And so my dad had, God intervened. Remember Harold talked about God projecting himself into time and space and history? God intervened in my life, and I came back to live with Mark and Polly. You know what? You know one of the things that made such an impression on me is I got back to my house. We hadn't been gone more than 2.5 hours. I went into my bedroom, and everything that related to me was gone. That room was turned into my brother's room. 2.5 hours. I mean, that was just, it was another sock to my gut. But God is faithful. And I tell you that, you know, you see the journey that I've been on, church, and I'm just getting to the point where I'm starting to really drink deep of that love and that grace and that mercy. And I don't share any of that this morning to dishonor my parents. They did the best they knew how. And there are many in here that have stories just like mine. And there are those that have worse. But you see, their love of God is bigger than that. The grace of God is deeper than that. It's sufficient, the Bible says. And so that's what my story is. My story is a love story. And that's what I want you to see this morning. I want you to see that this morning. You see, the love of God can cover over all that. He can cover over all that. And so that gives you a little background. into why I'm the messed up individual that I am. I don't own it. That's just it. I don't own it. You see, I believe that Paul knew. That's why he got on his knees before the Father. Let me read the text to you. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That word dwell is in the aorist tense in the Greek. That means again and again, ongoing. Not just like in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit went out and came back. It went out and came back. But it would truly dwell, live, abide. That's what Paul is praying for here. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, that's amazing. Grace and security. You see, I believe, church, that myself included with this, that there are so many of us here. You only know that the Bible says God loves you. For God so loved the world. You know that because you've been taught that from little up. But you don't know. You don't know the love of God. You don't know what that's like. To wake up every morning resting, abiding in the love of God. You see the evidences of God's love in your life. And you love God, but you don't really know the love of the Father. And that's where I've struggled for a lot of years in my life. And it's affected how I've related to people. It's affected how I've related to my wife and my children. And I pray every day that God would pour out his grace on my children, because I'm such a poor example of God. And I don't want them to transpose their relationship with God, or their relationship with me, onto God. You see, that's what we do. That's exactly what we do. And that's a trick of the enemy. You see, we take our broken relationships, and 99% of the time, those folks were just trying to do the best they could. They were trying. They probably had the same kind of broken relationships in their past. And so they were just duplicating what they were taught, what they were shown. Does that mean their parents didn't love them? No. No, it doesn't mean that. But only God can love with a perfect love. Only God can love that way. And so what we do is we say, well, if that's the way my earthly relationship is, and that's the way it must be with God. And we unfairly transpose that onto God, and it binds us up. And we don't know what it's like to live in that peace and security and that grace of knowing the love of God. And knowing that it has no limitations, none at all. You see, so often I've served God out of my fear and insecurity. You know, you would think that to look at me, maybe I don't act like a guy that has a lot of fears. But I, throughout my life, I've been bound up with fear. And God is teaching me that he doesn't use fear to teach us anything, to show us anything. Only the enemy used fear. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. It casts it out. And that's what I want you to know this morning, church. So often we serve God out of our insecurity and fear instead of a response to his perfect love. You see, we've got our theology upside down. We've taught a God of judgment and a God of shame and a God of, if you don't do that, I'm going to whack you. Listen, I'm not saying this morning that there aren't consequences to disobedience and sin. Don't hear that this morning. But what I'm telling you is the reason God has those commands and principles in his word is to protect us, because he loves us. Not so he can punish us when we fall out of line or step out of line. We've got our theology upside down. Because when we know the love of God, then we want to please him. You remember when you were a kid, how you wanted to please your mom and dad? You see, when you know you're loved, it's a response. It's a natural response. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. You know, I've shared before about the prodigal son, but I'm the epitome of the prodigal son. When he came to his senses, he didn't really come to his senses because he thought he could work his way back into the Father's good graces. You can't do that. It's impossible. It's futility. So quit trying to work at it right now. And let the Holy Spirit teach you, impart that to you, that God loves you. Let him do that today. Don't fight it anymore. Don't try to manufacture it. It won't work. Now, it's just been so much easier for me to see God in that master-servant relationship rather than the father-son. And that's what Harold was talking about. And I'm telling you, I'm reading some of his stuff now, him expounding on the Word of God, and it's rocking my world, my theological world a little bit. But as Diane and I were just saying yesterday and this morning, we were talking about some of the things in his teaching. It's not just semantics. It's not just words. It's just not, well, we're saying the same thing. We're just saying it in a different way. Boy, that's the old catch-all in the church, isn't it? We really agree. We're just saying it. No, we don't agree. We don't agree that God is a God of fear and judgment and a God that says, if you don't obey my will, I'm going to shame you into it. That's not God. That isn't how God operates. Do you hear that this morning? Do you believe it? What time is it? Quarter after? Oh, wow. Okay, as I told Tim this morning, this is probably a two-part sermon, so I'm going to stop here. Do you understand, church, that I believe that an abiding knowledge of the love of God, of the love of Jesus, only comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. It only comes through a work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want for all of us this morning, because it will change the way we look at people, circumstances, situation, and life. Listen, I'm going to say a couple things here that might offend some people, and I don't mean to offend people, okay? But it's just Bob's opinion, okay? This is Bob's opinion. But I believe that there's never been a broken relationship between people that really understand the love of God. I believe that when people really understand the love of God, they won't revert to counterfeit. Men won't look at porn. Women will honor their husbands. Things like that will happen when we understand the love of God. And I'm not saying you're not saved. Don't hear that this morning. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection either. What I'm telling you is, when the Holy Spirit plants a seed deep down in your heart, in the pit of your soul, and you know that you are loved, it changes how you look at everything and everybody. And you see, we get tastes of that. You see, in the old wine, we got a glimpse, a taste. But you see, in the new wine that I believe that God wants to pour out on us today, we own it. We know it. We experience it. We walk in it. We live it. Amen? And so this morning, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and I'm going to ask the elders and their wives and the prayer team to come forward. And listen, church, I don't want you... If the Spirit is not leading you this morning, then you don't need to be up here this morning. But if you want prayer this morning, if you want to know that love of God, if you want to comprehend the love of God that surpasses knowledge, so you can take care of some of the junk in your life and some of those old ways of looking at things and dealing with things, I want you to come forward for prayer. So stand with us now as we close this service in a time of prayer. And listen, if the Holy Spirit hasn't laid on your heart that it's you that needs to come forward and do business with him this morning, then you can consider yourself dismissed. But there are folks up here this morning that want to lay hands on you and pray for you and impart that knowledge of the love of God. I love you.